This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to another sub segment of Fictional Women Around the World. Welcome back, Samantha.
I've missed y'all.
Aw, well, you've come back for one that you're just going to have a great time of me talking at you. But the character's name is Samantha. That was not on purpose, but it is true.
We're all the best.
She went by Sam, which I'm going to talk about later, because I think they did that on purpose to make her more masculine. But anyway, yes, today we are talking about Samantha Carter from the show Stargate SG-1, although she was in all of the other shows as well. So a brief history about me with this show. And Samantha, you actually got to witness some of this before I think you knew what was going on. I had a huge, huge crush on the character Daniel Jackson from that show. Huge. And he was one of two characters I'd had a crush on that was at Dragon Con, I think the first year you came.
Oh.
And I was dressed as Disco Luke. And remember, I was like, oh, I made eye contact. And then the other guy I had a crush on, who was Chris from Charmed, was there. And I made eye contact with him as well.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea who you were talking about. And I just nodded a lot.
Yes. But okay. You were there.
I was present, for sure.
The actor who played Daniel Jackson was there. And I did my best to keep my cool in my Disco Luke outfit. When I was looking this up, I rewatched this show, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm not like the freshest and the most up to date. I really need to go back because apparently there's an implication that this character is gay. Like maybe being manipulatively gay or as an insult? I don't know, but I need to go back
what?
And watch it. I know.
So yeah, I'm going to say I know nothing about the show. Like I can't even tell you who was in it. So I know so little.
Did you see the movie?
I didn't know there was a movie. That's how little I know of
okay.
these.
Okay.
So
well,
I'm going to be
you're
real quiet.
Go on this journey with me. So this show was on Showtime when I was growing up, but it would replay on in my where I was, Fox 5, at 3 a.m. And I would sneak down the stairs because my TV didn't get any reception, and I would put it on mute.
Right,
but with
right.
subtitles, and I would just watch it. And I did this for years of my life, and I'm pretty sure my parents knew what I was doing. But in my mind, they had no idea.
You were so sneaky.
I was so sneaky. I just do this. This was like what I did. That's how I watched it. I still quote this show all of the time, and almost no one realizes it. I love it.
I would never know.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm trying to be subtle about this story because the details would give away too much. But one of the quotes is, I learned like the first 10 decimal points of pi from this.
Oh.
And because of this, I have been able to discern certain things in video games and otherwise, because I just know those first, I know pi out to 10 digits because of Stargate SG-1. I can forgive, but I could never forget. Quote, as the Sioux used to say, today is a good day to die. Quote. And then I recently had this conversation with some friends of mine. There's a whole episode where they go through like the scientific process of what denotes a living being. Is it fear or is it the knowledge of fear? Is it anyway? Also, my mom once walked in at the worst part. There is a part in the movie. There's several movies. I'll break this down in a second. But there's a part in like the Stargate SG-1 movie that kicked off this whole thing where Share, who's Daniel's like love, is naked and is getting implanted with a worm called the Goa'uld. And they were like the top enemies of, they were for a long time viewed as the top enemies. But my mom walked in on this part, probably one of the reasons I was watching it at 3 a.m. without telling them.
Yes.
But anyway, all right. Today, we are talking about Samantha Carter, played by Amanda Tapping, who was first introduced in Stargate SG-1, which is a sci-fi military television show that ran from 1997 to 2007 in various forms and on various networks. There are 10 seasons and over 200 episodes. It is part of a much larger Stargate universe, kickstarted by the 1994 film that asked the question, what if aliens really did build the pyramids? And then they find this gate that opens wormholes so that they can travel all over the Stargate, if you will. It's got a lot of Egyptian god references. The idea is that gods like Hathor were actually aliens possessing humans, although not always humans. There's Greek and Norse mythology, gray aliens. I only just put this together researching this episode. They're called the Asgard. Anyway, the gray aliens are kind of like Norse mythology. The legend of King Arthur becomes a big thing. It's also playing on the idea of Area 51 or any other secret military installations that are investigating aliens. It's similar to Star Trek in the X-Files or even Supernatural in terms of genre bending. There's a time travel episode. There's a separate Groundhog Day episode. There's a mental illness episode that I still think about. So, okay. The movie, which by the way, that has like James Spader and Kurt Russell, who are not in the show at all. They recast them.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Wait, so is MacGyver in this?
Richard Dean Anderson, yes.
Okay, So he I do know is one character.
Kurt Russell's character recast.
Oh, yes. They recasted him? How dare they?
But they have, as a like fun nod, O'Neill, his last name is O'Neill, in the movie with Kurt Russell, it's 1L. In the show with Richard Dean Anderson, 2Ls.
Got you.
Yes.
Nicely played.
Thanks. Well, I didn't have anything to do with it. But yes. Samantha Carter, this character, was not in the movie, in the 1994 movie. She was in all subsequent Stargate SG-1 movies, including the first one that kind of launched the series. But they discover aliens in the Stargate. And of course, the U.S. government is freaked out. And they also kind of want to know what the galaxy has to offer. So they put together these elite teams to travel the galaxy. And Samantha Carter is one of the people they were like, let's get her on the team. She is a pilot. She's an astrophysicist, an engineer, and a colonel, later general. I think she's held a lot of ranks, who is recruited for the primary team, SG-1. She is the, quote, skeptic, the scientist for their crew. She was the second in command for this team for almost a decade, and she did serve as the first in command for a year. Her longtime commanding officer, and will they or won't they romance, although I'll talk about this more later, I think it's more of a, like, no, probably not, Jack O'Neill, said that her brain was a national resource. Her father was an Air Force Major General who had a major influence on her life in a lot of ways. In one episode, she laments that her father wishes that she had been a boy. Her mother died when she was young, and she had long blamed her father because he was supposed to pick her up and then didn't, and her mom died in the taxi that she had to take instead. But she eventually forgave him. By the time the show starts, she's been working in the Stargate program for years and has been key in developing the science behind the dialing system, as they call it, of the Stargate. Basically, you have to put like 7 constellations in, and then it will be like, whoomp, and it will take you somewhere.
Perfect.
Yeah, thanks. At first, it was believed the gate could only go to one planet, but she was the one that realized it could go to hundreds of worlds, if not more. And travel they did. I have to condense or this episode will never end, but she bonded with her team. She went to many worlds. She semi-adopted an alien girl named Cassandra with her friend, Dr. Frazier. Her father was consensually possessed by a rogue alien of their enemies, the aforementioned Goa'uld, which, by the way, yeah, they're like worms that crawl inside you. She was temporarily possessed. She fell in love with a, quote, ascended being. Oh my gosh, this is a whole thing I can't go into. She successfully advocated for a replacement for a beloved, then dead, also a whole thing, team member. She had a replicator version of herself created by a replicator who was in love with her. Her father died. She helped develop a cure for a disease that was devastating an alien species. Maybe has a relationship with Jack O'Neill after much UST, unresolved sexual tension. Visited alternate realities, alternate timelines, which alternate realities and alternate timelines are different. To be clear, right, in this show, not the same thing.
Obviously.
Yes, obviously. In her off time, she likes to work on her motorcycle, do like engineering, tinkering, play chess with Cassandra, and eventually go fishing, which is sort of a... Jack keeps asking her to go fishing and she keeps saying no, but eventually, after her father dies, she says yes. Okay. So, themes. She was one of a slew of third wave feminist characters from this decade. Though she was particularly very male-coded, as I said. She was military, a scientist, she has short hair, she goes by Sam, which is typically associated with men, or at the very least, gender neutral. At the same time, though, in later seasons, she helped raise a child with her good friend, Dr. Janet Frazier. Her male rival once referred to her as a, quote, dumb blonde. So she does face obstacles like that. That's certainly in the movie where she comes out swinging like, I know you're all men, but I've been here and done this. So, by the way, she eventually developed a somewhat begrudging mutual respect with this enemy. But yeah, she goes on to sort of become or share the role that I would liken to Black Widow in the MCU of keeping the team together. Like, she's a very strong character and she's very headstrong, but she does sort of become the person, even though it doesn't seem that way at first, that's trying to keep this team together, which I always think is interesting that kind of falls to the woman. But she is sort of the mediator between the civilian world, which Daniel Jackson represents, and the military world, which Jack O'Neill represents. She's definitely an example of women working their ass off. Like, she's all of these things I just listed to get even somewhat footing with their lesser male colleagues. And yeah, one of the very first interactions you see of her in the show is basically her going over her resume and saying, have you done that? Do we need to arm wrestle? But even so, she does have these doubts about herself. Something else, just to touch on shows like these, again, I haven't gone back and watched it, but I feel like a lot of shows like these where you're traveling to other planets, that there is often an element of like white saviorism. Not every episode, or even often perhaps, but there are definitely some cringier episodes. And there is one where Samantha is in particular was used as sort of like a white lady showing off the society to their error of their ways, which has not aged well. So to make note of that. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The romance. Okay. So most of her romantic interests died. She is jokingly referred to as the Black Widow curse. Funnily enough, the actor who played Sam's father said he wanted her to end up with Daniel, since they both were intellectual types, but also because Daniel died and came back all the time, to the point his fandom nickname was the Wonder That Is Daniel. So that he would cancel out her Black Widow curse, which I did not know.
That makes sense.
It makes sense.
I like it.
This is the first I've heard of it, and I was a huge fan. So,
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah.
Convenient.
So her relationship with Jack O'Neill, who is her superior, was, I guess, her most enduring, I wouldn't even say romance, because their feelings for each other were revealed during a crisis, but they both agreed not to pursue a relationship due to their working relationship. And in a lot of the alternate realities, they were engaged or married. And in the time loop episode, Jack kissed her. Of course, she does not remember this time loop. Jack does, yes, often invite her to things that she turns down, including fishing. There are a lot of hints towards their romantic relationship in later seasons, especially when Richard Dean Anderson retired and wasn't there anymore. And they were like, oh, maybe they're together. But it was never explicitly confirmed. The writers resisted a romance. In fact, here's a quote from Sci-Fi Wire. Not every male-female duo has to be romantic, SG-1 writer Heather E. Ash recalled in a recent interview with The Companion. It's a trope I'm quite done with. I'm kind of bummed that Scully and Mulder, you know, that they made them succumb to, yes, they're going to be romantically involved because they work together, because they're men and women. We didn't really want to go there. It's a trope. It's kind of sexist. Let's just call it out. It's really sexist and very, very male gaze, and that weird thought that men and women can only be around each other in a sexual way. I know Amanda didn't want to deal with it, and she was very much like, thank God there's a woman on set, a woman who appreciates science, because I was a huge science geek, Ash explained. When we put the kiss in my episode, it wasn't to kind of have them go, oh, they're now going to be together. It was more like, oh, they're going to kiss, and it's like kissing my brother, you know, like Back to the Future. And Amanda Tapping was really influential in how the character was depicted. For instance, she was key in pushing for her friendship with Dr. Frazier, one of the few other women on the show in the beginning, as opposed to an adversarial relationship. As other women were introduced who were not outright villains, she was friendly with them too and worked collaboratively with them. And that's honestly one of my favorite relationships in the show is Samantha and Dr. Frazier, Janet. I definitely really did not put Jack and Samantha together when I watched it. It's true that I'm often sort of oblivious to these things, but no, it just wasn't a big thing. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's also, yeah, more queer representation because why is it like it's only when a woman enters the largely male picture that we're like, it's romance then. Let's think about this.
Correct.
And here's a quote I wanted to include. So after being proposed to by her, another on-again, off-again guy, I guess I'll say, she says, I mean, they make you afraid of being alone, but at the same time, tell you not to settle for anything less than the perfect romantic ideal, like that actually exists anywhere in the real world. I mean, either way, you can't win. Yeah, they didn't work out. Influence. She was definitely a very influential character. I will say when she first was introduced, she wasn't very fleshed out, and then she grew from there. She became a fan favorite. She is a character that comes up a lot when women are writing about characters that did influence them. She has appeared in episodes of Stargate Atlantis and Stargate Universe, which puts her at the top of appearances of any Stargate character in this universe. She is one of only 8 characters and the only woman to appear in all 3 Stargate series. I literally found a whole paper on her, and it's called The Feminist Utopia in Stargate SG-1. A part of their argument, again, if you're like the least bit interested in stuff like this, go read it. But a part of their argument was that the numbers of women working in this organization far outstrip the actual real world numbers that you would see. Here's a quote from the article. The show critiques the contemporary conditions of the present day, which constrain women and, in the scientific context, limit the boundaries and knowledge by rewarding egotistical behavior rather than generating a collective and supportive culture of inquiry. Stargate SG-1 repeatedly presents heteronormative domesticity as alien to Carter's aspirations. The absurd hostility and ineptitude of men scientists is also frequently thrown into sharp relief, decentering patriarchal claims to scientific process and opening them to critical analysis. I'm telling you, this was an intense paper, and I recommend it. I would love to hear from any listeners if you have any thoughts about this. This was a fun look back. This was such a big part of my life for a while that it was nice. It was nice to reflect. But yeah, listeners, if you have any thoughts or any suggestions for this segment, please let us know. You can email us at stephanieatmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at @StephOneNeverToldYou. Also find us on YouTube. And we have a Tee Public store and a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.